Drones have been in the news for years because of their often controversial military use. They're also making headlines for their potential as delivery vehicles. But reporter Saul Gonzalez discovered that some see in the drone potential for competition and a thrilling virtual experience.
On the clock right now. Remember, guys, trying to get three clean laps in. We already got one down in the middle. And he's up and rolling.
Maybe I'm standing on a high school football field in Los Angeles, trying not to get hit by a pack of small drones racing low to the ground through an obstacle course around me. The drones look like cyborg insects with metal arms and whirring rotors sticking out.
But he's coming in for another solid lap. A little wide. Oh, collision course. The Hex goes for a cartwheel.
This is the first officially sanctioned drone race in the Los Angeles area, sponsored by the International Drone Racing Association. Drone pilot Dan Werger says it's a small scene now, with custom-built racing drones prone to their share of mechanical failures. But he says the sky's the limit for competitive drone racing.
For me personally, I see beginnings of this drone industry similar to, say, something like the automotive industry. All these companies coming out making different drones and different racing drones.
So you see huge potential here for the drone racing scene.
Definitely.
The battery-powered racing drones are lightweight and small, and when hovering, sound a lot like a swarm of irritated bees from the sound of their tiny spinning rotors. But when racing, the drones can reach speeds of up to 70 miles per hour and do barrel rolls, loop-de-loops, and even backflips, which encourages some racers to showboat even as they race.
It feels like you're in like a mini F-16 fighter jet, so it's super fun.
Kyle Hidalgo, a self-confessed adrenaline junkie and former off-road motorcyclist, has been drone racing for about a year. Like other pilots here, he wears high-tech goggles wirelessly connected to small cameras on the drones. That gives Kyle the feeling like he's sitting in a virtual cockpit aboard the drone.
The thrill of it is being in the goggles, being in it, a part of it, right here, this front camera. That's what we're seeing in those goggles. So as we fly, that's what we're seeing, and it's just a whole nother level. It's a whole nother world. When you're flipping and rolling, going hundreds of feet up, back down, the first time I started flying this and going up really high over trees and back down like 150 feet to about 10 feet, I mean, I felt like I was on a roller coaster. I had that feeling in my chest like I was dropping down.
It's not a feeling that you're a guy sitting on the ground, standing on the ground. You feel like you're
on board. You feel like you're on board. You're moving fast. You're getting it. And sometimes when the racing gets heavy, people be squirming in their chairs, you know, trying to get the next edge on each other. It's really funny to watch. But we're all pilots inside these things. And, of course, none of us are real pilots. We're never going to fly F-16 fighter jets. But this is our version.
Along with sheer piloting skill, another way racers try to get the edge on each other is with drone design. Do you build a heavier drone with more power and speed, or decide to go light and agile with a very small drone called a micro? Again, drone racer Dan Werger.
For us, we're going more towards the Formula One style. We want something that's sleek, lightweight, but it's got a huge power-to-weight ratio. And that's where we're going with the micro world. These guys... Well, definitely the bigger ones will beat us. They're more powerful in a straight line on a straightaway. But ours are really good, say, for a more technical course. Lots of corners, 180s, like we that's where we hold.
But being at a competition in the early days of competitive drone racing, you see and hear plenty of glitches.
God, dude, I can't see a thing.
Okay, so you're not on six, dude. You're on one.
That's why. No, I'm not.
One big problem pilots face is when video signals coming from drone cameras inadvertently get scrambled. When that happens, they see images from drones others are flying.
Dude, I can't see.
If you are on channel 6, could you please switch to channel 5? We are getting interference apparently on channel 6, so please switch to channel 5.
That means during the races, there are lots of crashes.
And here comes all three, so they're tightening up just a little bit. Remember, try and keep it clear with each other, guys. Oh, one down in the middle. It's only two left. Trying to get those three good laps in, drivers. Oh, we got two down, so there's only one left.
As he prepares to fly, I ask pilot Christian Quesada about his race strategy for the heats, each lasting 2 to 3 minutes around the football field.
To win, just don't crash. You can win going slow, but if you don't crash, you will win.
Expect to see a lot of crashes.
Yeah, you will see a lot of crashes today. a lot.
The sport is so new, there's no such thing as a veteran in the drone racing scene. But at this competition, I did see young people allured by the high-tech competition. One of them is 13-year-old Anakin Peace. Yes, his name is really Anakin.
I like the fact that you can be from one place to the other in a matter of seconds. It's really fast. It's really fun.
Do you like the tinkering with your drone? I mean, do you?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love building it, and I love watching it crash and then repairing it and getting all the motors to spin for the first time. That's, like, the best part.
Building something new and learning from both successes and failures in competition. Talking to young Anakin, it's easy to think of boys and young men doing the same thing a century or so ago, during the earliest days of automobile or airplane racing.
So we're coming in on lap number 2. Keeley giving a nice and smooth right through the gate.
For only a game, I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles.